The Buddhist Church of San Francisco is gray and drab on the outside. But inside, past the sanctuary pews, is a dizzying sight. Gold leaf is everywhere. There's an elaborate, large bowl for incense offerings, and five ornate altars pay tribute to the Buddha and other people instrumental to this tradition with roots in Japan. It's a Sunday, and the Buddhist Church of San Francisco is holding a special memorial service to honor all those connected with the congregation who have died. Most people here are of Japanese ancestry. Before the service, several women gather in the lobby speaking Japanese. In the kitchen, others prepare for the event. Junko Nario Lo is a longtime member.
Well, I've been coming since I was in the fifth or sixth grade of grammar school. I feel involved with the church community, and I like the fellowship.
The Buddhist Church of San Francisco, or BCSF, is a haven for the city's Japanese-American community and has been since 1899 when it was founded. For a long time, it's been a largely insular community. But now, among many members, there's a sense that it's time to open up and become a more multicultural congregation.
I think we do need to expand and be more encompassing and be involved in the whole citywide community. I don't think it'll survive if we just keep the small Japanese community.
Jean Fukunaga agrees.
Keep the church growing, you know, and expanding the membership if we can.
Though called a church, this is actually a temple with roots in a Japanese tradition called Jodo Shinshu. In Japan, Jodo Shinshu is the most popular school of Buddhism, but here in the States, it's hardly known. The Japanese immigrants who came to work as laborers starting in the late 19th century encountered a lot of racism. Their religion, Buddhism, was a target of prejudice. The oppression continued through World War II. One of the oldest congregants is Hiroshi Kashiwagi. He knows firsthand the struggles Japanese Americans have faced.
There was a fence with guard towers, and you couldn't leave. It was in Northern California, near the Oregon border.
Kashiwagi was a young man when he was released from the World War II internment camp at Tule Lake. In this crowd, the topic of the camps comes up easily.
It's important. It's really shaped my life, the rest of my life. And I was about 25 when I came out.
It's influenced the path of Buddhist Church of San Francisco. For example, its name, calling itself a church. During the war, leaders of the Jodo Shinshu community held a meeting at an internment camp in Utah. This is Reverend Ronald Kobata.
And during that time, I guess the leaders met and thought about what to do when the war ended and so forth. And they adopted the name Buddhist Churches of America, thinking that would make our community seem less alien or foreign.
Other temples in the network followed suit, using the church designation. Kobata, who is a third-generation Japanese-American, attended the San Francisco temple as a kid in the 1950s. He remembers that instead of straw mats for sitting, as you'd find in Japan, there were chairs, and later pews. As it still is today, the main service was on Sunday, with an organ, like in church.
Causes and conditions for, you know, how the community developed initially, just the practical need of the ethnic, cultural community to kind of insulate itself.
But today, the Buddhist Church of San Francisco finds itself in different circumstances. Racism still exists in the U.S., but the Japanese-American community is more assimilated. It's less a target.
Now the causes and conditions in the West are becoming such that, you know, Buddhism is beginning to open up beyond any ethnic, cultural borders. And so that's really encouraging.
Encouraging because it means BCSF has a chance to draw in a new crowd, one that extends beyond its current small shin Japanese base. And Kobata says it has to if it's to survive. The city's Japanese community is shrinking, there's a lot of intermarriage, and fewer young people are interested in religion. But Kobata is optimistic.
the sense of identifying as Buddhist is starting to become hip. Just the idea of Buddhism seems to associate this idea of wisdom, compassion, and so forth. So there's a certain basic admiration, appreciation for what Buddhism represents in people's minds.
So Kobato wants to ride the wave of Buddhism's current popularity. He wants to introduce new customs, not native to Shin, but with proven track records, like meditation.
Noticing your posture, sitting upright with dignity, body like a mountain, breath like the wind. We're not trying to control the breath, we're simply watching the breath as it flows in and out.
In the sanctuary, Assistant Minister Leo Jocelyn is giving meditation instructions. While meditation is not an inherent part of the Jodo Shinshu religion, it is why about 15 people are here, seated in a circle with their eyes closed.
100 years ago, our flesh was soil. The blood in our veins was water. In the oceans, water evaporating, water coming down as rain. Breathing breath like the wind.
This sustained focus on the breath, it's a critical piece of Tibetan Buddhism and Zen, or the more secular type of Buddhism found at places like Spirit Rock in Marin. But not so for Shin.
Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida
Butsu. Shin Buddhism centers around a practice called the Nembutsu, which is the chanting of one phrase.
Namo Amida Butsu.
Namo Amida Butsu. It means to take refuge in the Buddha. In this case, the Buddha is thought of not as the person who achieved enlightenment, but almost as a higher power, a source of immeasurable wisdom and compassion. You don't have to be in a monastery or temple to say the Nembutsu. You can say it anywhere, at any time.
This is very metaphorical, but the Amida Buddha, for me, represents the very deepest part of ourselves, the life force that pervades the entire universe.
Jocelyn is half white and half Japanese. But when he came to the Buddhist Church of San Francisco, he wasn't looking for a Japanese temple, just a convenient place to meditate. To bring meditation to his congregation, Reverend Ronald Kobata had to overcome a sense of guilt.
Getting beyond some sense of obligation or loyalty to the form, you know, the notion that we don't do that. And so this is, you know, how I come to accept that, you know, I'm part of a tradition, a form, a religion. But the whole idea is to get beyond it and to see that it's a way of bringing us or connecting us to the spirit, or I'd like to use the term heart.
This emphasis on the heart is working. The temple isn't overflowing by any means, but these days it's a more mixed group. That includes people of Japanese heritage who either lost their connection to Shin or didn't grow up with it at all. It also includes people with no Japanese blood. For example, Elaine Donlin came to the temple for a friend's funeral 15 years ago. It had been her third funeral in a month.
And this one was such a celebration. There was just so much joy and laughter and beauty, and it was so profound.
She was touched and never left. She's now a minister's assistant. She leads a once-a-month loving-kindness meditation and a growing LGBTQ members group.
I love this temple. I love just the physicalness of it. It's so beautiful, right? And so I would like to see it be sustained. But, you know, there's something interesting happens when a tradition, regardless of whether it's a Buddhist tradition or whatever type of religious tradition, the teachings become codified and then institutionalized, right? And then they become very static. And so what I love about Buddhism is that everywhere Buddhism went, it impacted the culture and the culture impacted it. And so there's that idea of impermanence. Everything is changing. So our tradition needs to change. That I do know. The tradition will change. It is changing.
May this meritorious truth be shared equally with all, together raising the mind of enlightenment and awakening to a realm of serenity and joy. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.
The Buddhist Church of San Francisco will continue to evolve. So far, it's not clear how big of a difference the changes will make. But Kobata says while temple membership isn't growing, it's also not shrinking. That's a strong step for an historic congregation with a practice of survival. In San Francisco, I'm Judy Silber for Cross Currents.